If you believe that he deserves all of the glory and all of the honor, why don't you take a few more seconds and give him some more glory? Put your hands together and give him honor. Why? Because he deserves it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good afternoon, saints of God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time, in the land of the living one more time. Amen. We don't take the gift of life and the gift of another day for granted. Amen. There are those that God is calling on into glory and into eternity, but he saw fit to spare us to another day. Amen. How many of you know that take a deep breath just right now. Just take a deep breath. How many of you know that breath doesn't belong to you? How many of you know that God is the giver of life? Amen. And we're grateful and thankful to him. We're excited about today being the first day of the month and the first day of the last month of this year. God has been good to us all during the year of 2019 and faithful like only he can. Amen. So glad to see all of those who are visiting with us today, visiting your families during the Thanksgiving holidays. And we pray that all of your Thanksgiving celebrations were all that you needed and wanted them to be. We're believing God for them to be. We cover today with our prayers and with our intercession, again, those parts of our congregation who are sick, shut in. There's even a couple hospitalized this morning. We just learned this morning. So we're praying for them, praying for those that could not be here today with us in service for various and sundry reasons. And so we are thankful to God and keep them covered in our prayers. We're excited about our guests and our visitors here today. Amen. I've heard about Bruce's brother, and I think I've even seen pictures of him. And it's good to have you, sir, with us visiting from Las Vegas, Nevada. And Mother Poe as well from Colorado Springs. God bless you. And the Dardens, good to see you all, our dear brothers and sisters in the Lord. I haven't seen you all in a number of years, so it's good to see you again today. Amen. And we have as our special guest in today's service my own brother. Sometimes he tries to act like he's older than me, but he's really younger than me. He's my younger brother. We're glad to have him with us today in our service, visiting our family during these Thanksgiving holidays from Dallas, Texas. Put your hands together and welcome Elder Melvin. He's coming to share with us today. He is a musician par excellence, and he's going to share his gifting with us. Amen. Brother Harry's got it warmed up over here for you, Elder Melvin. So just let the Lord bless you. Let the Lord use you. Amen. Let's again just thank God for him as he comes.
Good morning to my family. I say my family because I'm a part of you and you're part of me. Amen. And it's such a blessing and a privilege to be here on this morning. I came with special intention and purpose to share and to participate in the service on today. And James, if you recall, he was the brother of Jesus. And there was a part in his experience where he denied his own brother. I'm not going to do that. I know very well that I'm number six. And Lewis Frederick Brown Sr. is number five. Is that correct? You always said you was in the middle of the middle. Can't do much with him. I want to say from my heart, seeing my parents who are living legends, I can't find better words, but God has preserved them. And I don't have the opportunity to be home too often, but when I come, I want to pull all the stops out and to let you know how much that you mean to me, Mother and Dad, and to this particular body, the new Beginnings Cathedral of Faith. I woke up this morning and I said to the Lord, this is Communion Sunday, and I want you to fill my cup. That may not mean a whole lot to you, but for you coffee drinkers and the Starbucks fans and people that really like to embrace something that brings some soothing element to your soul and to your body, there's nothing more precious than the blood of Jesus. The blood is the DNA that represents the body of Christ. Without his shed blood, there would be no relationship. We go to the hospital and we give our blood for different reasons, and that's a part of the life experience. But the one that gave his blood and ultimately his life for us, that's the reason why we're here today. I'm going to ask you just to give God a hand praise and to give him glory. Give him glory. I'm going to do a short rendition of the blood. So I want to make sure I'm concise, that I'm communicating what's on my heart and what is important to me. The blood of Jesus today is something that we can't do without. So I'm going to do a short version on the piano, and I brought my friend with me. whenever I ask her to travel with me, she is so busy. And she's not here today, but Tamla Mann, she agreed to come with me this morning. And so I'm going to let her complete the ministry as I play the blood. Thank you. She's still here. I'm trying to find my her song in my playlist. Bear with me just one moment. Here we are.
John, plug it in, okay?
Blood of Jesus, come on. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Help me sing it, come on. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Let's do this one. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of. Come on, if you believe it, sing it. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Singing, oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as there's no, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Singing, oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord today. Hallelujah. We thank him for his blood today. Thank you, Elder Melvin. Thank you, sir. We couldn't get Tamla Mann. We couldn't get her plugged into the system. So we'll invite her back again. She's coming back. Next time she's coming through Denver, we'll see if we can snag her over here at New Beginnings Cathedral Worship. Thank God for the gifting, for the anointing, for the call on his life. God is doing great things in his life in this season. And we're so thankful to God for his blessings. I want to turn your attention to the word of the Lord for just the next few moments. I'm not going to be lengthy. At least I'm going to try not to be. We do want to worship the Lord with the communion table today. Typically, if you've been a part of this ministry, you know that I seek and believe the Lord for an opportunity on communion Sundays to tie the message and the word of the Lord into the communion. Amen. And you know what? After all of these many years, no matter what our theme for that month was, the Lord has always blessed us and graced us to be able to find revelation and a revelatory word that connects itself with the communion table. You might ask yourself, why is that? The reason why that is what Elder Melvin said when he first sat down. Without the blood of Jesus, without his shed blood and his sacrificed life, we would not be here today. So throughout the length and breadth of the 66 books of the Bible, this communion table is always relevant. Can you say amen? Do I have anybody here that's glad they're saved today? Do I have anybody here who's glad your sins are forgiven today? That he's wiped the slate completely clean. Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for this opportunity to continue in worship around your word today. We pray that your word would have a great import and impact on the spirits, the lives, the minds, the souls of your people today. Speak to us today from your very word. We receive, we hear, we listen, and we are changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You've already heard these two scriptures today, but they're foundation for the entire month, and they will serve as foundation for our teaching today. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. It was Acts over 20 years ago, in the year of 1999, when the Lord birthed this ministry and gave us this very scripture in Isaiah chapter 43 as foundation for the birth of this ministry. We've come full circle now. And the word of the Lord, we're just going to lift one verse out of Isaiah 43 and verse 19, reading from the New King James version of Scripture. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. I need to ask you, if you're listening to me this morning, when will it spring forth? I just want to make sure. When will it spring forth? Now, the Lord says, it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The next verse, the Lord is giving us a companion scripture for foundation for this theme during this month of December is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. If you'll open your Bibles to that portion of scripture, where the word of the Lord says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Amen? Yes, sir. I love what the Message Bible does in translation of this scripture, if you'll allow me. I would just like to read Jeremiah 29, verse 11 from the Message Bible. And it says this, This is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up, and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you just as I promised and bring you back home. I, the Lord says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Scripture makes it clear, beloved, today, time and time again, that God is a God that does not change. However, it is that same unchanging God that places a demand on us to change. All right? In Malachi chapter 3, the word of the Lord says in verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." For the very reason that God is unchangeable, he does not alter who he is, his very nature. He remains eternally the same. That's the reason why we know that we will not be consumed and not be overwhelmed by our enemies. Can you say amen? In the kingdom, change, transformation, and transition are the order of the day. Did you hear what I said? Right. Let me repeat what I just said again. In the kingdom of God, change, transformation, and transition should be the order of the day. There is no advancing the kingdom without our willingness to change. Amen? The definition of change, some of you who are note takers and are capturing this in your notes today, I want you to get this good. The definition of the word change is to become transformed or converted. To make the form, nature, content, future course of something different from what it has been. Let me repeat that again so you get it. The definition of the word change is to become transformed or converted. It means to make the form of something, the nature of something, the content of something, and the future course of something different than in what it's always been. Also, it means that it's making it different from what it would be if it was left alone. How many of you are glad that God did not leave you the way he found you? I'm so glad he didn't leave me alone. I'm so glad that he's given me a promise in his word that I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, "Yea, I will be with you even until the end of the world." The Bible reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, "And we all with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." We are progressively, somebody say progressively. We're progressively being transformed into his image. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, by the way, from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord. See, when we run into trouble is when we resist the change that God ordains. We run into trouble when we insist on things remaining the same. So the Bible tells us that we are progressively, that we are continually changed in the presence and in the glory of the Lord. That's my prayer. That's my petition, that God would continue to work on me, that God would continue to mold, make, and sculpt me, that God would continue to direct and correct me so that I am progressively changed from one level of glory to another level of glory. How many of you know that God has a new level of glory for you in this new season that's coming? I preached a message almost a year ago in January of 2019. And I was looking back at my messages that the Lord has given me. I want to give you an excerpt from January 2019, almost a year ago. And here's what I shared with you about the reasons why obedience is important. How many of you know if you're going to change the way God wants you to change, if the effect of change is going to have its full effect in your life, how many of you know obedience? Thank you for reading that scripture during the offering times, Sister Helen, about being willing and obedient. I gave you five things in January of this year. Number one, I said that obedience is important because it is the only way to please God. If you want to please God, obedience must become a vital part of your life. Number two, obedience is important because God wants my life to be in a constant state of newness. How many know God wants you to remain new? He never wants you to get old. Even Dad, at 93 years old, God wants him at 93 years old to always be new. The only way that God can continue to make a man who's been on the planet almost 100 years new is through his continual obedience to God. And ours too, amen? Number three, the reason why obedience to God is important, obedience is the place for change at the heart level. Before it's ever seen on the outside, before I ever take steps of obedience with my feet or to perform it with my hands, there must be a level of surrender and willingness and obedience, submission to God. Where? First, in my heart. Number four, the reason why obedience is important as it relates to this message of change, obedience guarantees that I'm living my life God's way. How many of you determined that you're going to live your life God's way? Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. That's going to be important as we embark upon a new year. And then fifth and finally, the reason why obedience is important is because daily and consistent obedience helps me fulfill my purpose. Did you get those five things? Do I need to repeat any of them for you? All right. Number one, I'll start at number one. It's the only way to please God. Number two, God wants my life to be in a consistent state of newness. As a believer, as a Christian, as a spiritual being, I don't want to become stale. I don't want to become old and moldy in my spiritual walk with God. Obedience will help me remain fresh in the presence of the Lord. Number three, obedience is the place for change at the heart level, because if it doesn't happen at the heart level, it doesn't matter what you do in the flesh on the outside. And then number four, obedience guarantees that I'm living my way God's way. And how many of you know that God's way is the best way? Then number five, daily and consistent obedience helps me fulfill my purpose. How many of you know you've got a purpose? God has a purpose for your life. And the only way that you're going to fulfill God's purpose for your life is to learn to obey his leadings. And that prayer that Pastor Ramona led us in the prayer alerts today, it talked about God helping us and teaching us to be discerning, to learn how to hear the voice of God in the realm of the Spirit. So we'll know when God is speaking to us, and we'll have the confidence and the assurance that we can do whatever the Lord tells us to do, no matter how radical it might sound. Half of the Bible that we read wouldn't exist for us to read, because most of it is filled with extreme things that God told a man or a woman to do. And it was in their obedience that they found the purpose of God for their lives. Amen? So God is doing something for us as we start this first Sunday in this last month of the year, December. God is setting us up, and he's giving us an opportunity to prepare for a new season. How many of you know a new season is right around the corner? We don't want to wait till it gets here and then begin to prepare. We want to prepare before it arrives. Amen? The year of 2020 is upon us, and the Lord has already begun to speak to us about change and new direction. I want to give you, even though 2020 is not here, because God's giving us some weeks, Sister Linda, to prepare for a new season, I want you to capture today what the meaning of the number 20 means. What God is getting us ready for. The number 20 in the Bible symbolizes the completion of cycles. Yes, sir. Hear me and hear me well. There's a cycle that we've been in, a cycle that the world, the globe has been in, that nature has been in. There's a cycle that this nation has been in. There's a cycle, if you look at your own personal and individual lives, that you've been in. God is saying the introduction of 20 this new year means that there is a completion of cycles. It is often connected to a perfect period of working and waiting. Labor or suffering that is compared to a test or a trial and then followed with a season of reward. I think I want to say that one more time. The number 20 introduces the concept that's a connection between a perfect period of working and waiting. That's what we've been doing. We've been serving the Lord and waiting on the Lord. Labor and even suffering. So if your life feels like you've been having a difficult time, that you're suffering some things and that you're burdened with some things, I need you to know that 20, the introduction of this new season that's coming, means that it's the end of that cycle, end of that test, the end of that trial, and it's a time, a season of reward. That's a good place to give God a hand praise. Biblically, Jacob worked and he waited 20 years to get the wife he really loved and the release of his property. Yes, sir. Solomon's construction project to build God a temple and then his private residence took 20 years. Yes, Jabin and the Canaanite king, he oppressed the children of Israel for 20 years until God used Deborah and Barak to negotiate their freedom. Right. Are you listening to me this morning? 20 would have been a number of redemption if Abraham could have only found 20 righteous souls in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. The number 20 means redemption. So the number 20 represents a period of test and proving, and upon successful completion, God always generously rewards the faithful. Number 6, the year 2020 means that we are entering the third decade of the 21st century. And just as powerfully prophetic, the number 20 means change and transition. How many of you are ready for God to make some big changes in your life? How many of you know that if you stand in the way of those changes, even though God has ordained them for you, will not come to pass? Just tap your neighbor and shake on them a little bit and say, you got to move out the way of God's change. My prayer is, Lord, don't let me be a hindrance to change. Just because something has always been done a certain way, don't let me be a hindrance to you introducing something new and something fresh in my life and in my ministry. Are you here with me today? So what is God saying to America as a nation? There's some cycles that we've been in. There's some of those cycles could be characterized as chaotic cycles, as cycles of derision and division, cycles where clarity as to what is real, what is true, and what is not. I need you to understand that I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that in the year of 2020, it was already there, clarity. The year of 2020 is the year of clarity and direction. Amen. How many of you need God to make some things clear in your life and in your mind and in your soul? God is saying to the nation of America, come back to me. How many of you know as a nation that we have forsaken God? In many ways, we've left God. We've pushed God out of our schools. We've pushed God out of our public places. We've pushed God out of our parks. We've pushed God out of our courthouses. We've pushed God out of our political places. But God is saying to America, how many of you know God is giving this nation another chance? Why? Because he's a God of mercy. He's a God of kindness. And he's a God of grace. God is giving America, the body of Christ in America, one more opportunity, Pastor Ramona, to get it right, to become unified once again. Some of y'all didn't hear what I just said. I need you to understand that the body of Christ right now is more divided than any time that I can ever remember in my 64 years of being on this planet. The body of Christ on one side and the body of Christ on another side, the blue side or the red side. I need you to know that God is not Republican and God is not Democrat. God is about the kingdom. And what God wants to give the body of Christ another opportunity to do is focus on the King and his kingdom. How many of you know our help and our salvation is in him and not in an election? Did you hear what I just said? God is giving the body of Christ and giving this nation one more time, one more opportunity to come back to him. How many of you are ready to go back to God in this new season? How many of you are ready to fall on your knees and fast and pray and seek the face of God in this new season? Because God wants to do a new thing. He wants to do a new thing in us. What is God saying to this house, to New Beginnings Cathedral of Worship? He's saying to us that he wants us to press into him. And whatever instruction he gives us to obey, after these 20 years that he's been with us and blessed us, whatever transitions, whatever changes, whatever he wants to do to adjust us, that we're willing to fall on our knees and say yes to the spoken will of God, the spoken word of God. There's things going on in your individual lives, in your families, in your relationships that you've been believing and trusting God to change. I need you to know that change is coming. Change is coming. I need you to confess that over yourself right now. Just speak that over yourself. Prophesy that over yourself right now. Change is coming. Come on, say it like you mean, like you ain't scared of it. Like you ain't afraid of it. Job said it like this: all of the days of my appointed time, I'm going to wait till my change come. I need you to know change is coming. If you've been believing God for new health and new strength, and for sickness and disease that's wrecked your body and pain that's wrecked your body, I need you to know change is coming. Glory to God. These are things the Lord spoke to me to tell you today. As I bring this message to a close, I'm almost done. Not quite, but almost. The Lord told me to tell you that the church can no longer afford to be preoccupied with ourselves. So let's make that individually instead of some massive group or some them or they. You can no longer afford to be preoccupied with yourself. Do you know that was the difference in the Bible between Cain and Abel? Both of them offered God something. One of them offered God something that was all about himself. Well, it was convenient. It was comfortable. Mm-hmm. He even gave it competitively. Right. But the other, his name is Abel, he gave God exactly what God asked him for. Yes. What Abel gave God was about God, not about Abel. So you can no longer afford to be preoccupied with yourself. You've got to become kingdom-minded. Number two, you've got to understand why he gave you a choice. How many of you know God does not coerce or force or make you do anything? The reason why, Brother Mac, God gave us a choice is because he loves us. Yes, sir. If he was forcing us to do it, he would be an ogre. He would be some sort of lord or master that would make people, in spite of what they really wanted for themselves, to do what he wanted them to do. How many of you know God didn't make you a robot? He made you a free will being. Yes, so he gave us a choice. Because love should be willing. Our obedience should be willing versus forced compliance. Wow. In this new season, Pastor Ramona, it is my desire to walk every single day in this new season with willingness in my heart, loving God, obeying God, following God willingly. The Lord told me to tell you today, as we open this prophetic word to his people, it's time for you to be aggressive in your agreement with me, is what the Lord said. Let me say that again. God's saying to us, it's time for us to be aggressive versus passive in our agreement with me. Why is that important? Because the next level of blessing and favor is in the new that God wants to do. Did you hear what I just said? I said the next level of blessing and favor is in the new that God wants to do in you. The Lord told me to tell you today that greater levels of obedience bring greater levels of reward. How many of you want the blessings of God to overflow in your life? The only way that the release, the door will be open for greater blessings is that you learn a deeper and greater level of obedience. The Lord told me to tell you, don't be afraid to obey me in 2020. He said, if I breathed it, I will bless it. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, whatever he instructs you to do, how many of you know his anointing and his blessing is already on that word that he's spoken to you? And his word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish, Isaiah 55 says, everything that God has intended his word to do in your life. Sustained change is born out of sustained obedience. How many of you know you can't just obey him today? You got to obey him today and tomorrow. My obedience tomorrow is connected to my obedience today. Sustained obedience will carry you to new dimensions and realms in God. God literally wants to manifest himself to you in some new ways in this new season. Don't be worried. Don't be stressed. Don't be disturbed. Don't be heavy laden about the future. He tried to tell us in Jeremiah 29, don't worry about the future. I've got your future under control. I've got, the script is already written. When you read, if you would read ahead to the end, the Bible says that you are a winner, that you're more than a conqueror, that you are a victor in Jesus Christ. So as 2020 is the year of change and transition, let me give you this definition. The definition of the word transition means to modulate. I'm going to ask my brother Melvin to demonstrate what modulation means in the realm of music. Modulation, what key are you starting in? The key of C sharp. Go ahead. Play a little bit more in C sharp. All right. Modulate. Listen to that. He changed from C sharp to what key? He went from C sharp a half step to D. Can you hear the difference? That's what God is saying to us in the realm of the spirit, is to modulate from where you are, to transition from where you are to the place he's calling you to be. The word transition means to move. That's what he just demonstrated. He just moved from C sharp to the key of D. The word transition means to passage from one place to the next place. God has a next for me. No, I can't say that about, I'd love to say that about you. I'd love, but you're going to have to say that about you. So I said, God has a next for me. Would you mind sharing with someone close to you what you believe about it for yourself? Come on. You may not know what next is. You may not know where next is going. But see, Abraham had to believe that God had a next for him. He said, leave your place of comfort, leave your family, leave what's familiar. And Abraham probably said, well, where am I? And he said, go, pick up. And Abraham probably, where are we going? He said, I'll show you next when you get to next. But you've got to see it in your mind and in your spirit. And then you've got to speak it with your mouth. Find that person one more time and tell them, God has a next for me. How many of you know you can't get to the next if you're stuck in the now? Did you hear what I said? Stand to your feet in the presence of the Lord. Let's get ready to worship the Lord on the communion table. Come on, Brother Harry. The team has a song, the worship praise team has a song they're going to do during communion. Did you hear what I said to you? You can't get to the next if you're stuck in the now. I want this communion that we're getting ready to receive today to be a connection with God and an agreement with God for what He has determined is next. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that will prevail. I'd like for you to just already begin to lift your hands in the presence of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Tell Him, I want your purposes.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God.
I want what you've planned.
What you planned for me, God.
Over 2,000 years ago, the world was in a state of waiting. Mm-mm-mm. We've come to the month of December, and we're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Christ, the advent of the coming of Christ, where He placed His feet down on this earth to stay and to minister for God in the flesh. That's what really Christmas is all about. That's all it's about. It's the coming of Christ. Christmas. That happened over 2,000 years ago, but I need you to understand that God planned that and He purposed that before the world even began.
Right.
What are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell me, Pastor? I'm trying to tell you that your next was planned and known by God before the foundations of the earth were laid. It's going to be all right. Before there was sun, before there was moon, before there were stars, God knew what was next for you. That's why He said to Joshua, be courageous, only courageous. Be strong, be courageous. Joshua was a new leader, and God had something next for him, something new for him. He said, don't worry about it. It was planned before the foundations of the earth were laid. See, that's what life in the kingdom is, for we walk by faith and not by sight. How many of you are learning to trust God? You're still learning. I'm still learning. Sometimes I have difficulty with things the Lord speaks to me.
Jesus.
And He's speaking to me right now in this season in my life and ministry. And I press my ear to His mouth. How many of you know we got to get this right?
Yes, yes.
Not my will,
but
Thy will be done. Jesus Himself, after living and walking and breathing, ministering, working miracles on this earth, 33 and a half years, He completed His assignment here on earth. He could have felt so in love with those disciples and said, I don't want to leave y'all. I ain't going. I can't go. I got to stay right here with you. What y'all going to do without me? He could have resisted transition, Pastor Ramona. He could have gotten so locked up in the now and what was good and what was wonderful, and He could have resisted His transition. But how many of you know that He said in the garden, nevertheless, not my will. He transitioned. How many of you are glad? How many of you are glad that Jesus transitioned?
Yes, yes.
He went and sat down. He went and sat down on the right hand of the Father. He's praying for your necks right now. This table represents, Prophetess Ramona, the ultimate transition.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm reminded right now as I stand at this table, Lord, You said, if anyone would be my disciple, and let him take up his cross and follow me. Let us not be fearful, Let us not be resistant. Let us not be set in our ways of thinking. I really do want, God, all that you have planned, prepared, and purposed for me in this new season, this new year that's coming. I don't think you've ever given it to us like this, where we've got a whole month of December to prepare for a new season. Thank you for thinking so much of us. Thank you for being so kind to us, so thoughtful to us, giving us time to get ourselves together, get ourselves ready for change. The world needs it. The nations of the world need it, Lord. They're locked into cycles of corruption and wickedness and violence. America needs it. We need it. We'll be lost without it. We pray that it is our portion today. Let our taking of these elements be our agreement with you for what you've planned in the new and the next. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask my brother Melvin to pray over the bread, to bless the bread, and then I'm going to ask my father, Pastor Emeritus Russell Brown, to pray over the cup.
Father God, here we are today, standing in your presence. We are your sons and your daughters. We are part of your kingdom family. And Father, we know that without you, we can do nothing.
Yes.
You are our Savior. You are the sustainer of our life.
Yes. Thank
you, Jesus. As we embrace communion on today, do something new in our life. Change our heart. Change our heart. In the name of Jesus, as we partake of the bread, we know that it is your broken body, but that was then you were broken. You are healed now, and you are our resurrected Savior.
Yes.
And we give you the praise, and we give you the glory and the honor for the sacrifice of your body. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Father God, we come now at your table of the Last Supper. We pray, oh God, that the blood that you shed on Calvary, a symbol, hallelujah, change it from a natural to a spiritual, and let your blood wash us, that we might be cleansed from all of our sin. Conscience be clear in the mighty name of Jesus, for it's power in the blood of Jesus. As we sing the song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing. But the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus now, as we partake of the cup, hallelujah, represents the innocent blood that you shed, for you had did no sin and neither was guile found in your mouth. But God, we ask that you would cleanse us, that we would be like you in every way. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Amen.
Over and over. The wind,
invite you, those of you who need prayer, need ministry, have a petition, a request, a need in your life, I want to invite you to come to the altar if you so desire. The ministry team will pray for you and stand with you and believe God with you. Sister Shirley, can you make it up here, or do we need to come back to you? We'll come back to you if we have to.